There they go. Awesome. While we're waiting for that, you can go ahead and open up your Bibles, whether it's you got the digital format, a paper format. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians this morning. And there's a concept that I touched on last week that just has been gnawing at my brain for a little bit. And so I want to kind of tie some things together with last week, because it has a lot to do with where we're going this morning. And this idea of spiritual adoption and the word picture that was given to me last week about this idea of being grafted in. And we had one of the families that comes to the church here. He's heavily into what this whole idea of grafting is all about. And he shared something with me that I thought was it's just been right here in the back of my brain. He met me in the lobby and he said, "You know, this whole grafting thing is even deeper than what you're realizing." Is that he said, when two things are grafted together, there needs to be something present in both of them that they have in common in order for it to take, in order for it to work. And I was like, that'll preach. How many of you here were created by God? Anybody here created by God? Any of you? Anybody? Okay, a few of you. Good. So this will relate to those of you who are created by God. But there is something within us, a deposit within us, that actually longs to get back into relationship with our Creator. As often as you hear the topic and the message of the sin nature, that we are born into a broken and a fallen world, as theologically correct as that is, the reality is we were created by a perfect God who always designed us to be in relationship with Him. Always. And even in our sinful, broken, and fallen world, and the sin that is present within us and around us, the element of getting back to our Creator is a drive that will bring you into an amazing relationship with Jesus Christ. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have this spiritual chromosomal lineup. I mean, I'm talking about, I am not a biologist of any kind. I don't even know what chromosomal means, and I just now said it. I'm just kidding. But this idea that there are things within us that are built and designed for worship, that are built and designed for devotion, that are built and designed for love. And guess what happens when we don't fill those with the devotion to Christ and the love for God and those things? Guess what happens is it is filled by a deception in this world, and the deceiving part of love comes in. The deceiving part of devotion comes in, and the enemy fills that because there is already a need and a desire for it to take place. And so what happens is secularism sets in, and this idea of, well, I need to be loved, and I need to have this thing filled, and I need to have this place covered. And so what happens is in our sinful state, we try to fill those things that don't line up with the Word of God because that draw is already there. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And what happens is then this part that we were designed for, to be in relationship with God, that void begins to be filled with other things instead of what God designed it to be built for. Every so often, we get a glimpse of what it's like to have God fill that place that we were designed to be in unison with Him. We get that feeling. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but you've been in a meeting or in a worship service or even in your car, and you just have that moment and you feel that, whew, feel that little, ooh, I got some goosebumps on that one. That's The Holy Spirit is saying, that's the part of you that I need. That's what I'm talking about. There's a place now where I can park and I can be and I can grow and I can teach and I can show you what the purpose of that longing is. And sometimes in our relationship with God, we get so entrapped with the things of this world and so focused on what's happening around us that we forget that there is an absolute purpose to that design of God being in relationship with us. It's not simply about just giving our lives over to Jesus Christ. That is not the end. It's not the end. There's more to this life than saying a three-step prayer and knowing that your eternal location is going to be heaven. That's not it, because you're still here. When you gave your life to the Lord, you didn't get beamed up to heaven instantly in that moment. You're still here. Maybe some of you wish that happened. I got saved, get me out of here. But that didn't happen. So therefore, there must be a canvas that is being painted on, and the architect and the designer, the painter, the artist, he is standing there and he's saying, now, here's what I'm going to be able to do. Here's how I'm going to be able to use you. Here's the design of what's taking place. And sometimes in our Christian walk, we lose sight of that God has so much more for us now that we are in the body of Christ. The end result is not just entering into the body of Christ. That is now an open avenue for God to begin to use you and mold you and shape you into this amazing beacon of light for this world that we live in. Our salvation is not an end. Our salvation is the process by which now we can hear God directing us to do incredible things through him. And when Paul was writing this letter to Ephesians, to the church in Ephesus, what he was doing in chapter 1 is he was kind of laying out some common groundwork. And that's a practice that I love to have, sometimes maybe even to a fault, is I get, when I'm about to introduce a concept, I get extremely foundational and extremely basic for a little while, just to make sure that we're all on the same page. And Paul goes through that process when he's talking to them, and he's saying how they were brought into the body of Christ, and you were adopted. And this process of what you once were, it's not that there has been this adoption process is saying you were in this particular location and now God is our Father who has brought us in. And he gets extremely basic with some of the concepts. And in verse 11, I want to read a couple of verses with you about what takes place now as someone who is motivated to have God growing within their life. In verse 11, it says this, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, in him, Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. There's some amazing intentional words that are in there in the English language. Verse 12, so that we who were the first hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In verse 13, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Now there's a couple of things in here that I really feel that Paul was saying, let's get right down to the basics of what happened, because as believers in Jesus Christ, we cannot be ashamed or afraid of anything in the Lord. And our culture is painted that way perfectly, that anything that's slightly out of sync or something that doesn't seem quite acceptable is kind of pushed away. And what's happening is is that the desire for being, strangers and aliens according to Scripture, that's what's happening with some of the tendencies of the sin nature that's in a society, because we're in a culture right now that's very accepting of sinful circumstances, because there's something within us that actually is drawn and attracted to differences. And some of those differences have lined up with sexual tendencies, or some of those differences have lined up with just blanket acceptances of various sins and types of things that are on. But the reality is that as believers in Christ, the Scriptures tell us that we are supposed to be aliens in this world. We are not of this world. We have just been transformed, and we're in the process of it by the renewing of our mind. These are the types of things that are taking place within us, and a natural tendency for that to take place in us is to recognize the difference between someone who is just buried up to their knees in sin and someone who is walking around in freedom. Years ago, and I think I shared this, I kind of remember sharing this particular illustration of this, is that when Alexa and I were in Bible school, something that was really common was for us to go out and minister to youth ministries through song and through sharing of the word. But something that was really common at that time was to do skits. And skits have kind of worked their way a little bit out of the church culture, but skits used to be a huge thing that we did all the time when we were Bible school students. We'd go places and do skits all the time. And one of them painted this illustration where people were on their knees, and they didn't know that they had legs and they couldn't walk. And so what they're doing is they're in this special kind of like AA meeting almost, where they're being encouraged that they can actually get up and they can walk. And the leader of the group is the one who demonstrates for them first. Like he's down here on his knees like this, and they're all talking and having this conversation. And then all of a sudden, he does this. And like the six students that are in the skit, they all go back like, whoa, where did that come from? And he throws out the other one, and he stands up, and he says, look what we can do. And they're all on their knees, and eventually what happens is one gets brave enough to try it. Another one gets brave enough to try it. Next thing you know, all six or seven of the students are standing there. They're walking around. They're like, this is amazing. Look at what we can do. We can actually walk. And he says, you need to go out into the world, and you need to show that everybody can walk. Everybody can do this. And they're all high-fiving each other, getting all excited. And he says, okay, you know, help us to take this thing out, Lord. Help us to show people that they too can get out and walk. And they're like, yeah, that's awesome. Let's go out into the world, and let's show everything. And they crawl out of the service. Because what happens is that idea of conformity is actually a non-Christian idea. Scripture says too many times, do not be conformed to this world. And what happens to us as believers, and this is something that is even not demographically, you can't isolate it to any particular demographic. You can't isolate it to any age group. You can't isolate it to any social standing or job basis. Wherever we go, you find that there is a conformity that is taking place. And when somebody stands up in front of you and is like, man, I was walking through the mall the other day, and while I was in the mall, the Lord literally laid on my heart that lady that was over on the other side, and I walked up to them and I just began to pray over that person and just ask God if they could do something, and we're all like on our knees going, whoa, what did you just do? You went over to somebody in the mall and asked them if you could pray for them? That's great for you. That's good. I'm glad there's somebody like that. I'm glad somebody's willing. But we have to get to a place to where, why would I be ashamed of the truth that I have obtained? Why would I be afraid of that? Think of it in any other circumstance. What if we were all walking around with oxygen masks on because we didn't think that the air on earth was breathable? We didn't know it was. And one day, one of us just went, I just breathed and I didn't die. You should probably take your oxygen mask off. It's not necessary anymore, right? Wouldn't you tell somebody? You wouldn't go, we'll take ours off in the backyard. Right? You would tell somebody. Take it off. It's fine. Come on in. The water's fine. Wouldn't you tell somebody? And that's what happens to us in our Christian faith, is that we look at the idea of what it means to even just be a living sacrifice to God, to say, I want to beam and demonstrate what it means to be a follower of Christ. I do not want to be ashamed of the gospel. And I think that we would all agree that it's not a desire that we have, but sometimes we get in certain situations and we say, you know what, I was just, there's no way God can use me this morning. I mean, I got frustrated buttoning my shirt up this morning. I stubbed my toe on the end of the bed and off I went. I got a phone call when I was getting ready to come into work, and they're like, they needed me to come in early and stay longer, and I got all frustrated with it. Whatever the situation is, you guys know what you're faced with every day. And you say, I can't possibly be that beacon because I still have this issue and this circumstance. Look at what it's saying here in verse 11. In him we have obtained. Can you say that word with me? Obtained. Do we need to break this word apart and study it and look at it for an hour? I think that almost everybody in this room understands what obtained means. That means that we have gotten it. It's ours. We have this thing. And in this we say, in him we have obtained an inheritance. So what we often get mixed up is that we are somehow going to get something down the road. Instead, there's something that you have obtained right now. Right now you have it. Right now you have this amazing thing that took place, a transformation that took place, and it is being guided by, let's look at it, what happens down in verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised, how many of you have your scriptures with you? What is it? The word there is Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinitarian God that we worship. The Holy Spirit, he came into you and is dwelling within you. So you have already obtained an inheritance. And what we often do is we get caught up in what our destiny is and what our final destination is going to be, and we forget something extremely important. There is an inheritance that you already have obtained. And that inheritance is you can breathe without your oxygen mask on. And other people need to know it as well. You're standing on railroad tracks and a train is coming and you step out of the way. You wouldn't leave the person standing next to you just standing there. You would give them a little bit of a friendly shove. I don't want to intrude on their, you know, let them decide. You know what? Let them decide. But how are they going to hear if nobody is telling them? Letting them decide is a good idea. I'm not into, you know, cornering somebody in your break room with your verses out and said, okay, my pastor challenged me this week. I need to share the gospel. So buckle up, Billy. Here we go. Right? I'm not asking you to do that. You're not leaving this break room until you say the name of Jesus, right? You know, we're not doing that. But what we need to be able to do is get into a place of a relationship with him that it is just as natural for you to be thirsty and for you to share the word of God. In any circumstance, something comes up and you say, you know what? Would it be all right if I share with you? While you were talking about that situation in your home, the Lord kind of deposited something within me. The Lord? Yeah. You think the Lord talked to you just now? Yes, I do. And I have an inheritance. I have something I want to share with you. I'm not going to get all freaky and weird on you. I just want you to know the Lord just laid this thing on my heart. And you would say, well, that doesn't happen to me. Well, how about this? The next time somebody is talking about, have you ever been in the break room or in a conversation where somebody is talking about their problems? So this relates. The next time you find yourself in that situation, in the back of your mind, just be going, Lord, is there something that I can share with this person? I am completely overwhelmed by their situation. Have you ever heard somebody sharing something and you're just completely overwhelmed? You're like, boy, you're right. That is horrible. And instead, in the back of our minds, what we should be able to do is simultaneously, while we're listening to them, we were saying, God, give me something to encourage this person. Do you know, in the times when I've been talking with somebody and I have said, I don't know an answer. I'm actually pretty comfortable with myself. If there's something that comes out and I don't have an answer, I don't sit there and try to make something up. I'm like, I have no idea. Would it be all right if I prayed for you? And if they look around if you're in the situation where, and they're like, would it be okay if I put your name on my fridge and I prayed for you? Would it be okay if I carried your name with me and I prayed for you? Would it be all right if I, and what you begin to do is take steps of saying, you know what? I have obtained an inheritance and I want to use that inheritance now. Now. I want to begin to make daily withdrawals on that inheritance. It's not, and the scripture here is talking about our eternity, but you can see the language. There's nothing that I'm adding to this. It says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. When you heard the gospel and you gave your life to Jesus Christ, the person of the Holy Spirit has come into your life and has begun a process of cleaning house. And that process is the working out of our salvation. The Holy Spirit just coming in and moving us. I would challenge you as a believer in Jesus Christ to be able to say, you know what? I need this inheritance at work in my life. It requires reflection. It requires the ability to read the word and to say, you know what, Lord, I really am challenged by this. When I read scriptures like this, it causes a chain of events to take place in my own mind where I'm like, you know what, God, I want this to be true, but I don't know how far away I am or how close I am. Help me to get some more understanding. Help this to work out in me and begin to push on the doorway of what God has for us. Say, God, I want that inheritance. I want that freedom. I want that ability. That's what a changed life is like. We are Christians. But that term has been vaccinated over and over again. To where somebody says that they're a Christian and they have no idea what it even means to be a follower of Christ. And largely not even to their fault. They haven't had an opportunity to even see what an active follower of Christ looks like. They went to a meeting one time. They were really touched spiritually by a moment. They gave their heart to the Lord. And then they've just been left to fend for themselves. You are the walking testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to see what it means to truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It needs to be evident in us. Here's something. Are you a Christian? Yes. How? How? What makes you a Christian? Why do you answer so quickly and say yes? And begin to ask those things of yourself and look at them and say, what am I doing? How am I doing this thing? My friend Bob was here was that even just last weekend? It seems like it was forever ago, but I think it was this past weekend, yes. And he ran in his, I don't know if it was his first 5K, but he ran in a 5K yesterday. And when he got to Titusville on Wednesday night, he asked me, he said, you know, I understand you've been running, you've been doing something. Would you run with me and help me train for my 5K that's next Saturday? I said, well, how many times have you been running? He's like, none. No. He had been working towards Summit, but he hadn't been like on a rigorous schedule. And so I said, okay, let's go with this thing. You know, we'll see what happens. And we ran a few times. And the first time that we ran, one of the things I just found me naturally doing was encouraging my friend. I have a pretty easy 5K route that I do, but there's one big hill in it. And so we're coming around the bend here, and I just caught myself. I realized, I said, okay, Bob, we're coming up on the first climb. It's right up here. And he looks up, he sees it, and he's like, okay. I said, okay, here's what you want to do when you get up to this hill. Here's how you don't want to, you know, because the tendency is, I won't get too detailed with it, but you tend to look down when you're climbing, and that actually slows you down. You got to keep your head up. And I say, look over the tree line. He's like, okay. But anyway, he's looking over the tree line. Right? And then what I do is, going up the hill, I begin to tell him, okay, we're halfway up the hill. Okay, just a few more, just another 100 yards, we're almost to the top of the hill. Then we get to the top. I was like, man, Bob, you made it. You did it. We didn't slow down. We didn't do anything. We're keeping pace. We're looking at it. I said, man, you conquered that thing. Now we're going to go downhill. The tendency when you're running downhill is let your feet get too far ahead of you. And I begin to talk to him and walk him through the process. We go all the way through the 5K. And I found myself just kind of encouraging him and telling him some things that I had learned over the time of running. And when we were all done, he was like, oh, man, I couldn't have done that without, because he didn't want to walk. It had been a while since he had done that. He had done some, but he hadn't been able to. He had run around a track. And I told him, running around a track is nothing compared to running on the road. Running on the road is completely different. So he was concerned, and he's like, I just don't want to have to walk. I said, all right, we won't walk. And there I was encouraging him and shouting out. And when I was looking at this, I said, how many times have we been able to speak into the lives of those around us and saying, hey, there's a road bump coming. There's a hill you're about to climb. There's a situation and a scenario that's about to come up in your life. Here's something that I learned when I was going through that. You're almost through it. You can do it. You can press through. You can see God do amazing things in your life. You're going to be able to do this thing. And that is understanding that you've obtained an inheritance, that you can breathe without that oxygen mask on, that you can use your legs and you can walk. 2 years ago, if you told me that I would be encouraging my friend on how to run, he's always been in better shape than I. He works in construction. He's climbing up and down ladders with shingles on his shoulders all the time, and he's doing all kinds of things. 51 years old, he's just like, you know, he's up and down a ladder like a butterfly. I don't know how he does it. Then he comes to me and he says, hey, would you help me run? Like, man, you're going to kill me. You're going to be so far ahead of me, I won't even be able to see you. There was something within me that wanted to encourage him and strengthen him. In your relationship with Christ, as we kind of tie this all together and get ready to pray together, I wonder, have you been able to look around in your immediate circle? And is there someone in your life that can use the encouragement of the deposit of the Holy Spirit within your life? Come on, you can do it. I know it looks impossible. I know it looks difficult. I've had people do that with me. The first couple of times I ran, Scott did that with me, and he volunteered to run with me. This week I'm going to be running 10 miles for the first time. I've never done it before. I said, Scott, would you run with me? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes when you're going through something, you just need to be able to either be one or the other. It was an encouragement for me to be able to encourage my friend. Then he had somebody running with him. He said, I heard the exact same things. He had a nephew run the 5K with him yesterday. He said, my nephew quoted you exact. We're climbing a hill. Look above the tree line. Don't look at your sneakers. We came into the last half mile, and I said, we're not going to run faster. We're just going to lengthen our stride. It's not more work. I just want you to lengthen your stride. And I had just heard that on YouTube, so it must be true. I had never heard that before. There's a guy that I follow that gives you the basics on how to run. He's like, don't get caught up in the thing of trying to sprint your last mile. He said, just lengthen your stride. It sounded good. So we're in our last half mile with Bob, and I'm like We're not going to run faster, we're going to run smarter, is what I said. And he's like, do you know that we got around the corner to the last half mile? And my nephew looked at me and he said, we're not going to run faster, we're going to run smarter. Isn't that an encouragement to know? Because now I was able to pour something into his life, and someone else who was into the scene was able to do it. How many times have you been able to say, this is my spiritual experience, God can encourage you, and then that person comes back to you and says, man, I just heard that same thing from so-and-so. Or I was riding home in the car. I've heard that a few times. I was riding home in the car. I turned on the radio, and Pastor, that same message was on the radio again. And I said, I'll tell you what, maybe God's trying to tell you something. Maybe God's trying to encourage you somehow, and you get to be a part of that process. Can you stand with me this morning? You can encourage somebody in their walk with the Lord. You can do that with them. It doesn't require any type of man-made accomplishment. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then there is an inheritance that you have obtained. And now this morning, God just wants to open up that avenue for you to begin to say, I want to be that encouragement to the believers and the brothers and sisters in Christ around me. I want to be able to just share some things with them and allow the Lord to use you in those ways, and to really be listening, not with the an earthly ear, but allow the Holy Spirit who is dwelling within you to say, okay, now let's listen to this conversation together, Phil. And while your friend is talking to you, I'm just going to begin to place some ideas and some thoughts into your head. We're going to see if we can't give some encouragement to your brother or your sister today. Oh, wouldn't it? What a blessing. Father, we come before you right now. So many different connections represented in this room this morning. There's no way any one of us could impact the number of people that are represented through relationships in this room. Only we have the connection. You have placed certain people in our lives. That inheritance that we have obtained, Father, I pray that we would be encouraged to share that inheritance. Just even what Scott was sharing with us is that just the blessing of being able to distribute that inheritance. Challenge us, even today, even this afternoon, maybe there's an opportunity where we could just have this a door open for us that after we look at it, we say, you know what? I think that God has given me that opportunity in the past. I've never even recognized it, and now I'm seeing it. Father, I pray that we would just be fully aware of those divine appointments, those opportunities, to not scare people, not be oppressive, but to be an encouragement, to be an encouragement to those around us. And then finally, if there's someone in your life that you're saying, you know what, Phil, I haven't been able to be the encouragement to them that I know I should have. Just begin to think of them right now. Just begin to think of them. Just allow the Lord to bring them to your mind. Maybe there's somebody that you're connected with, whether it be family, whether it be work. It might even be just someone in your neighborhood that you see all the time, and you've always been wondering, is there any way that I can connect or reach out to that person or give encouragement to them? There's probably somebody in your sphere of influence. So right now, I would just say, just focus on that person for a moment and just begin to say, God, is just help me to see opportunities that I would be able to gracefully be able to insert encouragement from you, direction from you into that relationship. God, I thank you for trusting me with this person. I thank you for bringing this person into my life. And Father, I just pray that I would be able to be an encouragement through the power of the Holy Spirit and that inheritance that I have obtained. I thank you for that. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank you so much for just being willing to walk through that with me. It's a powerful opportunity. Over the next few moments here, I noticed that Steve and Brian have already stepped out. If you are able to help them, if you're able to be a part of any of the things that are happening within the building itself, and then this Wednesday night is the 13th. If you were here last week, you know that I wanted the 13th to be last Sunday for some reason. But the 13th is this coming Wednesday. And we've been having a midweek service, and we've just been having a blast getting together. This past week, we shared testimonies together. We talked about how God was introduced to us and what we've done with that, and how we've been able to maybe speak into somebody else's life. It's been wonderful. This week, we are going to be getting together and putting together our Christmas boxes. It's an awesome time of fellowship. So we are going to be getting together at 6:30 right here at the church Wednesday night, and we're going to begin the process of doing that. And so if you want to be a part of that, if you want to fellowship with us while we do it, we're going to put all the boxes together, we're going to pray over them, and just allow the Holy Spirit to do some great stuff through that. So